In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began,
God was.
Here and now, among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven,
God is.
In the future, when we have turned to dust, and all we know has found its fulfilment,
God will be.
Not denying the world, but delighting in it. Not condemning the world, but redeeming it. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
God was, God is, God will be.
We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. As God's people we have gathered,
let us worship him together.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to our worship. For those who have been really observant, you'll spot that I'm now back in church. And it's lovely to be back and lovely to be amongst you. Even though separated, we are still worshipping together. And it's good to get my robes back on. We start our worship this morning with our first hymn, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow.
Thank you.
grace of God has dawned upon the world with healing for all. Let us come to him in sorrow for our sins, seeking healing and salvation. We need your healing, merciful God. Give us true repentance. Some sins are plain to us, some escape us, some we cannot face. Forgive us, set us free to hear your word to us, set us free to serve you. Amen. May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon and forgiveness, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, we beseech you mercifully to hear the prayers of your people, that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfil them, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Philippians. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and work for his good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Alleluia, alleluia. The word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord is the good news announced to you. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Faithbook has been meeting again, albeit online rather than in the pub. It's finished now, and though we have been small in number, one of the themes we've considered is what difference might following Jesus make to our lives. To help us think about it, there was a bit of homework that asked what would happen if you looked at everything with the question, "What would Jesus do?" in your mind. So pick up the newspaper or watch the news and ask, "What would Jesus do?" Think about a time you have been cross or judged another without thinking and ask, "What would Jesus do?" It's an interesting and challenging exercise. Some of you may remember of how a few years ago wristbands with the letters WWJD were embossed on them that became popular. They were a bit of a gimmick, and you can still buy them, but at best they were a kind of reminder that wherever you are, whatever you are doing, as someone who claims to follow the way of Jesus, we live asking the question, "What would Jesus do?" So when St. Paul in that first reading says to his friends in Philippi, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus," he is at the very least inviting them to live their lives framed by a sense of WWJD. But there is more. For Paul wants to take them, and I think us, beyond Jesus as the moral teacher, to Jesus, the living presence at work in their lives. He wants them to be in Christ, learning to love and serve him instinctively. He longs for their hearts and hands and voices to become Jesus's. The trouble is, as we all know, it's easier said than done. It's easy to read these words, say them and preach on them, but much harder to live them as we go about our daily lives. But perhaps a clue to how our lives might more deeply be lived in Christ is found in those remarkable words from our first reading sometimes called the Song of Christ's Glory. Paul poetically describes how Christ Jesus emptied and humbled himself to become like us. This image of emptying and humbling is worth pondering more as we think about the theme of letting the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I've often reflected on these words over the years, not least because if we took them to an extreme, I've wondered whether they would in some sense lessen who we are. Why empty ourselves of what God has created? But I don't think that is what Paul is concerned about. More that we have often, through no fault of our own, absorbed a false image of who we are. For example, raised in Western countries, we've all absorbed messages, albeit subtly, about achievement and success, about our worth being rooted in what we have done and in what we have. So perhaps it's not surprising that Paul's language of emptying and humility are so strange to us. Yet there is something for us here, for we can and do lose our way. We can become too obsessed with our needs, wants, and our own importance, can succumb to selfish ambition or conceit, as Paul put it, that there's so little space in our lives for humility and for openness. Perhaps a good test to see where we are with this is to ask ourselves what happens when we are in conversation with another. Though given how much time we have spent with each other lately, it might need to involve a leap of imagination. But are we genuinely interested in them? Do we really listen to them, as if we might have something to learn? Or do we seize the opportunity to fill the spaces with tales from our life and of how marvellous we are? Two people came to mind from my story of what this emptying and humility looks like. Two people who have helped me understand what it might look like for me. One was a man called John Macquarie. After a distinguished academic career, he had retired to a suburb of Oxford when I was training for the priesthood there. I was doing some reading around Christian existentialism, all very exciting at the time, and he'd written a book on it, so I arranged to see him at his home, vainly thinking, I suppose, I might have something original to say. We talked, and though my memory of that day is limited, I remember him listening, being interested in what I thought and said. Here was a man far brighter than I, who in a sense emptied and humbled himself before me, because there was at least the possibility of his learning something more. And then there was Timothy Radcliffe, a Dominican monk who came to stay with us before he gave a talk to churches together in LS15. He had been Master of the Dominican Order, travelled the world, spent time with popes and world leaders, and yet here he was, sat in our dining room, talking to Jacob, interested in him and what he was going to do with his life, interested in what he might learn from the then 18-year-old sat opposite him. Two remarkable men. They had been shaped by the Jesus who gave himself to others, spent time with those on the edges of society, listened to them, healed them in word or deed, and offered them a different vision for living. Looking back at those two encounters through the lens of this reading and the theme for this week, it seems to me that what would Jesus do wasn't so much a question they asked, more a truth that they lived. It reminds me of learning to drive a car, for when you do, you think so carefully about everything, there are many skills to acquire and master. But then after a while, maybe without even noticing, you don't think about it, you just drive. And that's my hope for how my faith in Jesus might be revealed in me. Not so much through words preached, though I hope they may help a little, but in following the way of Jesus, seven whole days, not one in seven, as George Herbert wonderfully put it, a faith that's natural, instinctive, open-hearted, beautiful. Of course, I get it wrong sometimes. I get it wrong often, as those around me know well. But that doesn't mean it's not the right aspiration for my life, as I hope it is for yours. Perhaps then today is an invitation for us to take Paul's radical words to heart and pray for the same mind to be at work in us as it was in Christ Jesus. And as we affirm our faith in the words of the Song of Christ's Glory after this, may we commit ourselves both as individuals and as the church here in this place, in whatever way we can, to grow into them and be who God longs us to be. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Heavenly Father, at a time when many question the relevance of the Church, give us the presence to be witnesses in the world. Witnesses that strengthen the presence of Christ in our communities. In times of uncertainty, we look to the leaders of our church for reassurance and guidance, expecting them to always know what to say and do. Grant them the compassion and wisdom that we seek, and guide us all to assist others as we would want to be assisted ourselves. Gracious God, bless the province of the Episcopal Church of Sudan, the Most Reverend Ezekiel Kumir Kondo, Archbishop of the Province of Sudan and Bishop of Khartoum. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide, O Lord, those in our diocese who are in political leadership, both nationally and locally, that their policies and decisions are in line with your priorities for our world, and that they consider the interests of others as they continue to guide us through this time of uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you are the light that the darkness can never conquer. Be the lamp to guide our feet in the confusion of the coronavirus pandemic, so that we can see the way through. Our Church of St. Mary's, like many others, has adapted its worship services, and we offer thanks for the continuing presence of our worship services in all forms, for our clergy who have worked hard to ensure that our worship continues, for our congregation who have supported each other, and for all those who have been drawn to our worship during the pandemic. Send your blessing on the residents of Highbank Place and their neighbours, and guide them to look out for each other as the ever-changing situation allows. Thank you, loving God, for all who continue to nurse and support COVID-19 sufferers. Pour your love into the hearts of the weary and the afraid, so that they may know the comfort of your loving arms and the reassurance of your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In this time of uncertainty, we know many who are struggling with sickness or major changes in life. Our prayers have been asked for George Brown, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jennifer Mode, Mike Jackson, Christine Oates, Margaret Tomlinson, and Terry Foster. Circle them and any known only to us with your healing and comforting arms. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, surround all who mourn this day with your continuing compassion, especially the family of Doreen Smith, who has recently died, and from the year's mind, Nellie Lowther. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, set your blessing upon us all as we begin this new week. Comfort the suffering, heal the broken, inspire the joyful, and cover us all in your hope to continue doing the good work of Jesus. United with the Church across the world, Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, you have taught us through your Son that love is the fulfilling of the law. Grant that we may love you with our whole heart and our neighbours as ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
For all that God can do within us, for all that God can do without us,
thanks be to God.
For all in whom Christ lived before us, for all in whom Christ lives beside us,
thanks be to God.
For all the Spirit wants to bring us, for where the Spirit wants to send us,
thanks be to God.
Christ has promised to be with us in the world as in our worship.
Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.